appreciate that song this morning. It's that's the kind of attitude and mindset that we all need. Say, yes, Lord, yes. I'm here to live for you and to worship you and to do as you would have me do. So, appreciate that. It's a good challenge for all of us. I have a few thoughts to share here this morning, and I desire your prayers as always. I want to start off with well, you'll understand the question. How many broken screwdrivers do you have in your junk drawer or in your toolbox or on the work cabinet or wherever? And specifically, I'm talking about like your flathead screwdrivers. And if we're to be honest with ourselves, these screwdrivers were probably broken because they were misapplied. They weren't really used for a screwdriver. Perhaps they were used as a pry bar. Perhaps they were used as a chisel. Or as some type of small little pickaxe, you know, or whatever. Maybe weapon, we hope not. But anyway. But yet, the screwdriver is designed for one thing, to be used as a screwdriver. And so, I'll just confess, I know I have some screwdrivers around the place that are broken because I didn't use them right. I didn't learn how to use the tools properly. So, with that in mind, what I want to talk about this morning is a tool, but yet it's also a weapon in the spiritual sense. And I want to read a familiar set of scriptures here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And my burden here this morning is that we would learn how to properly use this piece of armor slash weaponry, spiritual weaponry that God has provided for us. And so here in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, I just want to, first of all, read a familiar scripture here just to help us understand. It's actually a couple of scriptures. And then we'll skip down and read some of these others. Well, we'll just read this whole section. So, Ephesians 6, and we'll start with verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, I want to stop right there and just help us understand that to lay the groundwork here that we are all in a spiritual battle, a warfare, all right, that's going on. If we don't see physically the devils and the demons and his angels attacking us, we don't see the devil walking around with horns and a tail and a pitchfork and those type of things. But no, he's rather cunning and crafty, trying to work behind the scenes through other avenues to deceive us and to destroy us. Right? Or get us distracted, whatever means he sees fit. So, regarding that, the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare, spiritual battle going on, God has provided the whole armor for us to put on and to use. And what I want to emphasize is to properly use, okay? Just like that screwdriver, properly used and if properly fitted, it works very well, okay? But you start using it for other tools, and it can break, it can cause some damage, it doesn't work right, you may break something else. So it is with the whole armor of God. Each piece needs to be used properly, okay? And my burden this morning is to actually focus on some that are mentioned here towards the last. And it is verse 17. We know these scriptures, and in fact, I've covered some of this earlier this year, but I want to focus on verse 17 here. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So that's what I want to focus on here this morning. And I first want to emphasize something, that this armor that God has given us and these weapons that he's given us here explained in verse 17, this is of God. All right? It's not something that someone else created or developed. It's not something I created or developed. It's something that's the armor of God that he has provided. And it's our job and our duty and our responsibility to pick up the whole armor of God, everything that's listed here, and all these other verses just previous to this, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and so on and so forth. But to put all this on and to use it, to take it up and use it, but use it properly. Okay? So again, I want to focus on this verse here. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I'm going to write the title on the board this morning. So what I've written here is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, okay? So before we dig into that particular part, I want to address the first part of this scripture, because this scripture actually works together, this whole 17th scripture. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. So I want to just talk about the helmet of salvation briefly, just lay a little groundwork that works in with the second part. So again, the purpose of a helmet is to protect the head. The head or our brain is the command center for our whole body, our whole being, all right? It controls our thoughts and our emotions, so on and so forth. And so the meaning of this take the helmet of salvation is representing the confidence or the assurance, the hope that we have in Jesus' salvation, that He will see us through, that we will be successful if we trust in Him and we use all of these pieces of the armor and the weaponry properly. He will give us the victory. There's hope in this. It's hoping in the salvation that He has for us. And think about it this way. This helmet of salvation, it fights despair. Because just think about it here. If you don't have hope that things will get better and that God can help you and save you out of a situation, then you're in despair. It's like, why even fight? I'm just going to throw everything down. But if you maintain that helmet of salvation, that's the hope of the gospel, folks. That there is hope in Jesus Christ. That through Him, things can get better. And He can give us the victory, alright? So that's a very key part to keep on our spiritual heads. And to realize that it's a good defense against the spiritual attacks that Satan uses against our mind. And I can say this with assurance. We all have experienced that. The devil attacking us through our mind, alright? Such as through doubts or anxiety, feelings of unworthiness. I mean, the list goes on, alright? The devil loves to use that as a weapon against us, a tool. And he also wants us to believe that nothing will ever change. That's what Satan will tell us. Glad nothing's ever going to change. And, you're beyond repair, or your story is going to end badly. You know, just painting this, the darkest picture imaginable, that's what the devil's going to do, alright? But let's remind ourselves who the devil is. He's a liar and the father of lies. I've used that scripture so many times, but folks, it is still true. That he is going to use every means possible to defeat us, alright? But here's something we can do. The rest of this verse is taking this, says, and take the helmet of salvation, alright? So we take that. We're guarding our minds with the helmet and the hope of salvation, okay? But then, we get to do something to retaliate against Satan here, alright? And it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, alright? So that's something that is actually a weapon. So, we look at it this way. All these other pieces of armor are for protection, alright? But this sword is a weapon to you. So let's think about it this way. The sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is referring to, of course, the Holy Spirit, and the sword meaning the Word of God. Alright? So it's the Spirit of the Lord using His own Word. In other words, He can use the Holy Spirit throughout the whole earth right now, wherever He pleases, and He can use the Holy Spirit and His Word to defeat the devil. He can use it in people's minds and their hearts where we quote the Word of God and we can use it as a tool to defeat Satan in our own being and in our minds and our hearts. That's how we can use the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Okay? So again, this is a weapon. And to think about it this way, using the Word of God, the biblical truth that we find in His Word, to combat temptations, to combat lies, to combat deceit. Just like Jesus did when He resisted the devil there in the wilderness. Remember that story? In fact, we'll get to it here in a moment. But I first want to talk about the sword briefly. So the sword here in the Greek is actually the word makai. And I'm going to write that word on the board here.
Wear out,
But the Word of God is powerful to stand upon just a few words that God says. We can use that against Satan, and folks, it is effective. It is powerful. Because it can penetrate into the tight little corners and crevices of our lives, or with the devil attacking, and we can defeat him and just point into one specific thing. He attacks in a specific way. We can counterattack in another specific way using the Word of God, Machaira, the small short sword. Okay? So, it's also a meaning. Well, we'll just skip on to the example here. Remember I mentioned earlier about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And you know, Jesus demonstrated this so effectively. And I'm so thankful we have this as a record. So let's turn and read in Matthew, the 4th chapter. This is one of the places mentioned in the Gospels. In Matthew 4, Jesus is taken and says this, and Jesus led the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And this was for 40 days and 40 nights. Again, this is Matthew, the 4th chapter. But I want us to understand something here. You know, the devil attacked him 3 times. There were 3 temptations, and there were 3 specific attacks, and 3 times Jesus responded the exact same way. I want us to take note of that. He didn't deviate. He didn't just say, well, I'm going to try something else. He knew what was effective, and he used it, and he continued to use it. Not once, not just twice, but 3 times here for us. And I'm not going to cover all 3 examples here, or all 3 temptations, but I want to focus on one in particular. And it is verses 5 and 6. And I want us to notice how Jesus used the Machaira here, the Word of God, some specific words from Scriptures to combat the devil. He wasn't quoting chapters and books at a time. He wasn't sitting there debating with the devil for several hours over particular points he's trying to tempt him on. He's like, the devil used the Word of God, but Jesus used the Word of God back at him. All right? So let's read this example here. Verses 5 and 6. And the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't go on some long, deliberate monologue here, trying to explain all kinds of things to him and bring up all. He just quickly used the Machaira here, the Word of God, alright, and he used it very effectively. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He's like, because basically the devil's tempting him to jump off the temple. To tempt God, say, if he jumps off, well, then God's got to send some angels to protect me. And Jesus is saying, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not supposed to do this, all right? But let's dig into this a little further. Because, let's be clear here. The devil is very wily in his ways. Trickery and deceit are some of the biggest tools that he uses, okay? Because what did he do? He quoted some scriptures, and I want to turn and read some of these scriptures here, all right? Let's turn and read back in Psalms 91, because this is where he's quoting from. The devil's smart, I'll give him that, but he's not wise. And let's read what he did here. In Psalms 91, let's read what he quoted here. And I'm not going to take time to read this whole chapter, but I want us to understand this chapter is talking about, it says here, the top, the heading of it, the happy state of the godly. In other words, it's people that are seeking to follow the Lord, to find the Lord as their refuge, and to follow the Lord's paths, and to find the Lord to be the one that they are seeking for and following after, right? So, the scriptures he quoted here is Psalms 91, in verse 11, and he says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee." Then you go on to verse 12. "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." What did the devil leave out? He left out, "to keep thee in all thy ways." You see what the devil did there? He's sly. He used the word of God. He's like, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee." But then he goes on, he skips over to verse 12 and says, "And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." That sounds good. That sounds like the Bible. It sounds like Scripture. But Jesus knew what the devil did. He skipped an important part: "to keep thee in all thy ways." You see, the devil intentionally or conveniently skipped this crucial part of the Scripture because, we'll just say it this way, it was this, in a sense, the devil was quoting the very text that was used to defeat him. But he didn't want to focus on that part. And I'll explain here a little bit. So this was a promise that was given here. The promise wasn't to catch and protect you no matter what you do. You understand the point here? That's how the devil is trying to use it. Like, no matter what you do, you just jump off this pinnacle, the temple, the angel's going to save you. That's not what the Scripture was saying. In other words, in our everyday life, we just can't go out there and go do anything we want to do just because we want to. But it's if we're following the Lord's ways, in all our ways as you're following the Lord, because that's what this whole chapter is talking about. In context, is following the Lord in His ways, not my ways, not me choosing to jump off the temple or choosing to do something because somebody told me to. Well, they told me to, and God said He's going to save me, so I'm just going to jump off. No, you're tempting God when you're doing that. And that goes against the Scriptures that Jesus quoted. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." All right? So that's what the devil was doing here. He wanted him to skip this part and not realize that there's an obligation that if we want to receive a promise, we have to fulfill God's obligation. All right? Which is to keep thee in all thy ways. You could say it's a qualifier where it's limiting God's protection to those that are following God's way and His desires. All right? That's what the Scripture is talking about. And as long as we're following God's ways, God will protect us. All right? That's what the Scripture is meaning. That if we're following God's ways and we trip or we stumble, God's going to help us, all right, and lift us back up, because that's who God is. If we're truly honest and sincere in our hearts, and we do stumble, and we do fall off, so to speak, or whatever, but we come back, so we'll say, "Lord, help me." He's going to help us. He's going to bear us up with the angels and lift us back up. All right? That's what the Scripture is meaning here. So, the promise is this. As I already said, basically, that God's angels will guard and protect us in the way that God has called us to walk. Just let that sink in there a little bit. It's not how I chose to walk, or someone else told me to walk, but as God showed me and led me to walk in His ways, as laid out here in Psalms 91, then God will protect us. Okay? So, throwing ourselves off of a temple, it's not a way that God calls us to walk, right? Just put it out there bluntly. That's not what God the Father wanted Jesus to do. God didn't tell him to do that. Satan's the one that told him to do that. You understand that it's sometimes it's so obvious that we miss the obvious. Satan was the one that was telling Jesus to do this. But he was yet using this for his own defeat, all right? Because Jesus, what did he do? He used the Makaira. All right, the Word of God, the one that is powerful, all right, and is very pointed and direct, a specific Word of God. He used the right word at the right time, okay? And Jesus quoted, you realize He quoted a Scripture from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 16? He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." That's what Jesus quoted, to respond to the devil. So the devil is using a partial truth, and Jesus used a full truth, okay? And that's what brought the victory. So think about it this way. You know, the devil knew what Jesus did. The devil knew that. And so, even though the devil skewed the scripture, you realize that didn't stop the devil from coming at him again. He came at him again. In another way. But you know what? Jesus, again, used the word of God again. The Messiah used the word of God to write back to the devil. And it wasn't some long discourse. It was just a quick and powerful, a few words from God's word. And he defeated the devil again. You know, that gives me courage here this morning. Because sometimes the devil wants us to think that we have to be some masterful scholar to know all of the scriptures, all of the stories of the Bible, have them all memorized, and just know everything front to back, back to front. No. We don't have to have all of that. We have it available. Of course we do. But what God is rather encouraging us to do, and the scriptures talk about this, is hiding the word of God in our hearts. All right. So at a young age, we hear the Bible stories read to us. I remember as a young boy, that was such a great comfort to me, to hear my mother read the Bible stories to me. And you know, to this day, I still remember some of those so vividly. Because it was at some crucial points in my life, and I needed that wholesome spiritual food from God's Word. They were using these scriptures and these biblical stories to expound the principles of God, of holiness and of truth and of hope and of salvation and of heaven and all these wonderful things, all right? And so at a young age, we're able to soak those things up and start remembering some of these Bible stories and some of these verses. And then there'll come a time as we get older, we have to start using those against who? The devil. That wants to come along and just use some partial truths to confuse us or to stump us or discourage us or whatever the fact is to tempt us. But we can use the Word of God, the Makaira. We can use something that we've experienced before, something that someone else has experienced, and say, you know what, devil? Well, let me give you an example. This is a practical application. We'll just put it this way. I'll start here first. You know, there's a litmus test of how we can know when the devil is fighting us. Most of the time, we can probably discern that. Sometimes it's maybe more difficult to discern. But one of the ways the devil can fight us is through despair, like I mentioned earlier. We need to put on the helmet of salvation. That helps with the hope that we find in Jesus Christ, that we can, through His plan of salvation, find grace and mercy and help in time of need, all right? So, but the devil wants us to feel like, basically like there's no way out, or there's no hope, or we feel trapped, okay? I think we've all been in situations like that. But let's go a little deeper. Maybe a person has feelings of being inadequate, not enough, or less than, or even failure. You know, the devil loves it when we start down that train of thought and that path. Because he's like, you know what? I got him close here. I'm going to throw some more darts at him. I'm going to raise that shield of faith. All these other parts of the armor God has given us. But there's so many things that we have at our disposal here. But focusing on this one particular avenue that the devil attacks us, we feel despair. We feel inadequate, not enough, less than, so on and so forth. Because what happens is when you start focusing on that, that can bring you to a place where you freeze. Like, I just don't know what to do. I don't feel like I can do anything. I can't do anything right. I don't feel like I can do this. Or this person thinks I can't do that. Or I feel this. And I, you know, I'm like, so I don't know what to do. You just kind of, you know, there is a scripture in Ephesians, the second chapter, that I have used before. It says, Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Let's just think about that a little bit. Because that is a short phrase or a part of the scripture that is powerful, that we can use as the Micaiah here, the short sword, against the devil, saying, "For we are his workmanship." And there's another translation that says, "His masterpiece." And we can just remind the devil, "I am the Lord's masterpiece. I am the Lord's workmanship." Okay? And use that back. He keeps telling us, "No, you can't do that." You know, so on and so forth. Trying to beat you down and say, "No, I am. For we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece." And I want to break this down just a little further. It says, "For we are his." Let me just stop right there. Just that phrase alone, we can tell the devil, "I'm not yours, I am the Lord's. We are his." Just that alone, that God is the one that owns us because we've freely given ourselves to him. He is our master. He is our savior. He is my God. He is my creator. He's the one that created me. And yeah, maybe I don't have 50,000 abilities and skills, but I have two. And I'm going to use those for God. So get behind me, Satan, all right? I am his. I am the Lord's. I'm not yours, all right? And then to again remind him that I am his workmanship, his masterpiece. Reminding the devil that we were carefully and meticulously created by God. Did you create yourself? Did I create myself? No, God did. And he's an amazing God. He's an amazing creator. Talking about when we were born, we were woven in our mother's womb. And truly, that's how our human body is made. It's woven together. And no man cannot identically duplicate. They try their best, but they can't create a human like God can. They can't create a soul. They can't create something that will live forever, all right? Only God can do that. So, and think about this. It says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." What this is meaning is, not only did God create us, but we are a unique and beautiful creation or masterpiece in his hands. And think of it this way. It's a work of God's hands that he has a plan for us. He didn't just make us to be a blob just to sit there stagnant somewhere. To be like the phrase is, "I'm not on the log and I do anything." No. We're created to be used in his hands, to be molded and to be shaped and to be purified and, yes, perhaps tested, but ultimately to be used in his hands. We are his creation. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. And folks, that's just one example that we can use to combat the devil. It's not some long and we just say, "No, I'm the Lord's." Just say it that way. "I am the Lord, Satan. I'm his masterpiece. I'm his work. You didn't create me, devil." No, you didn't. "You're trying to destroy me. I am the Lord's." That's a very simple, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to use that, okay? That's just one simple example. But you know, as we learn the Word of God, you know, sometimes, even us as adults, maybe it's just me, but sometimes my mind goes blank. Like, I remember reading the scripture recently, and it was a great blessing to me, and I'm like, but I can't call it up. You ever had that happen? Okay. I guess it's not just me. But you know, there's other things we can say that you don't have to remember, you know, 500 scriptures. You can say simple phrases, which this is a part of the scripture in the Bible, as simple as, "God is love." You realize that? That's a slap in the face of the devil. Because who is the devil? Is he love? No, he's the opposite. But God is love. And devil hates to hear that. You can just say, you know what, devil? I don't care what you're saying, but God is love. And that never changes. And I've experienced God's love. God is love. I'm swinging that little Micaiah around like, God is love. God is love. You see, God is love. God is love. Or it could be, there's others. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's part of a scripture, but it's powerful. It's, again, it's reminding the devil who owns us. It's not the devil. It's the Lord. We freely give ourselves to this good shepherd that's protecting us, that's providing for us. The Lord is my shepherd, not you, devil. All right? Again, use my own vocabulary. The Lord is my shepherd. God is love. And you know, it even boils down where it's simpler than that. You know another word we can use? Just one word. Jesus. The devil hates that word. But when we use it in all trueness and honesty of our hearts, not as the world uses it as a byword, but when we use it, generally using the name Jesus, folks, there is something, as that song says, there's something about that. And the devil hates it. Because why? Jesus has already defeated Satan. He has. But we have to claim it by using the Micaiah, using the Word of God and reminding the devil that, you know what, devil? You lost the battle. When Jesus rose from the grave, you lost, Satan. Remind him of the resurrection. Just start talking about the resurrection. Just use it. He's risen. Just say that phrase. He's risen. He's risen. The devil knows who you're talking about. You could use the word Jesus, but he knows who he is. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, the Word of God is so powerful. When we use the Word of God effectively, all right? When we use it properly, it is powerful. And that's what defeats the devil. You know? And I want to conclude with this. Just a simple little thought, like I've already said. Let's take courage as we properly use the Word of God. Do we use it as a tool, as a weapon to defeat the devil? And as we use it as a Micaiah, to strike a quick or specific, powerful, defeating blow against the devil, take courage. Because he's going to come back, and he's going to attack you again. But I want us to remember something in conclusion here. Remember at the end of that temptation there in the wilderness, those three times Satan tempted the Lord, tempted Jesus. What happened after that last one? It says the angels came and ministered unto him. You realize we're going to receive that too? If we do our best, which God knows what it is. God knows our hearts. Okay? And we do it, we're using the Word of God, and we're striking back. And yes, sometimes we can get weary of it, but we keep using it. Even if we're just saying, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe you don't have the strength to have your eyes open, but you're using Jesus. You're using His name. Truly trusting in His name. Folks, that is powerful. And then God sends the angels to minister to you. Because you know what? Jesus was weak. He was fatigued physically. 40 days and nights out there without any food. But yet he was strengthened in the spirit. And he was strengthened by the angels that ministered unto him. You see, that's the part the devil, he's talking about just the angels to rescue and jump off the temple. But Jesus knew the full purpose of these angels. Was to minister to him after he fought a battle. And to give him strength to continue fighting as he went back to the real world, so to speak. There were more battles to fight. There were more opportunities to use the Word of God, the Micaiah, to use it to defeat the devil. But thank the Lord, God gave him the strength by the angels ministering to him. Lord, let's take courage here this morning. As we follow God's path. We follow Jesus' example. That there is victory for us as we use the Micaiah. We use the Word of God effectively and properly. God will give us the victory. And in the end, He will give us the strength to fight on and to press on. That's encouraging.
to me and inspired to me.
I trust it was to you as well. Pray for me. Amen.